I'm extremely happy to introduce Alan Potage today. I've long waited for the moment when Alan would come to MIT and talk to us, and I'm very grateful to the organizers to have Alan talk to us today. So Alan is he's a legal scholar from LSE, but he's a good legal scholar. He's so don't walk away. He's not going to be arrogant and pompous. He's actually going to clarify things for us. And Alan has been working on a series of topics over the past 6 years, from plant patenting to the consequences of synthetic biology. And he has a book coming out soon on the history of patenting. And he's going to be in Cambridge for a few moments. And in early April, he's organizing a conference at Harvard with our dear but lost colleague Mario Biagioli. So I think it's going to be the first and second of April. So I'm looking forward to that.
Disturbing to see oneself like this on this. Close that. Well, thank you so much, Vincent, for the introduction, and thank you, Kim, for such a thought-provoking paper. I guess with the theme of this series being sensing the unseen, that it should be possible to do something more creative and imaginative with the role of commentator than simply to describe yet another reflexive arc of second-order observation, yet another kind of mode of recursivity. What would that be? That would be seeing the sensing of the unseen, or seeing the saying of the sensing of the unseen in some kind of way. But I guess although reflexivity is the specter that's always out there, you know, we all do it, we all know what it is, I am still, nonetheless, with apologies to Jacques Lacan, going to enjoy my symptom, at least for the next 6 minutes, and try and turn reflexivity to good purpose. And in a way, I guess we could start with the choreography of Kim's presentation. That is to say, with the text, the reading of the text, the slides, even perhaps the audiovisual apparatus that surrounds us, that in a sense we are all kind of here currently part of a kind of dispositif of mediation. So if our question is, how do we communicate, that is to say, relate, report, talk about the sensing of the unseen, one argument would be that we have to actually begin with this process of mediation that is happening right now, that in some sense is the necessary kind of matrix through which all of this happens. So devotees of Friedrich Kittler will have their own take on that in terms of, you know, the materiality of all that stuff there that I have no idea how it works. Because I don't know how it works, I can't do the Kittler thing, but maybe we could fold that question about the communication of communication into the topic itself, i.e. the bioinformatics of toxicology and what one can do with that. And I think what I want to try and add by way of a commentary is maybe an alternative way of recombining three of the terms that are in play in Kim's paper. That's to say, first of all, industrial culture, and I fear I'm going to be bad in the sense that I'm going to say something nice about industrial culture. So industrial culture, performativity, and legal logic, or the structure of law. And maybe we could begin with what digital infrastructure, to use Kim's term, is likely to become, and that example would be the example of synthetic biology. And one of the most striking things about synthetic biology is the use to which the form of the graphical user interface is put. So obviously, in synthetic biology now, through the form of the graphical user interface, one can cut, paste, copy, trash, and so on. And the question there is really about the performativity of that computer screen. It's if you like, it's a kind of ideology that generates a certain kind of representation of digital infrastructure, of doing science through the digital media. And the question would be, what if one starts to kind of pare apart, pick off the different layers of ideology that are involved in that, starting with the graphical user interface, to what is going on behind that? And the question really is, should one take at face value or take seriously what is in itself a kind of performative ideology of digital science? So in terms of this triangulation of industrial culture, legal structure, and performativity, I'd like to start with or take a very straightforward example from my own field of patent law, 19th to 20th century. And it's a form of doctrinal theory that emerged in the late 19th century and early 20th century, and it's a theory of combination inventions. So the question here is very straightforward. It is, how do you invent something in the late 19th, early 20th century when you're in a culture of emerging mass production, standardization and redundancy of certain components, where the increments of invention are becoming ever, ever more slender? And the theory is that you invent by recombining what is old. So there are old elements, old parts, but somehow they are put together in a new machine, and it's their articulation. And I think this could be a sort of articulating the archaic avant la lettre, of you recombine all those old components, and they become new through the effect that one patent lawyer, and this seems totally implausible these days, but one patent law citing Whitehead called concrescence. And the question there, if one's assumption is that law is, in some sense, complicit in sustaining a certain kind of industrial culture, maybe if we start with law, we can get an analogy to the kind of phenomenon that Kim is describing that would pose a question about what we mean by industrial culture. And the point is that what law is doing there through this theory of concrescence or concressing combinations or something like that really illustrates, I think, what legal logic is about or what legal structure is about. And that is, of course, I absolutely share Kim's view that law is in some sense addicted to these forms, the binary, the linear, the hierarchical. But I think what one sees in an example like the theory of combination, that those forms always have to be produced. They are artifacts. In some sense, maybe that's obvious. They are, and I think I'd say artifacts rather than instruments. Lawyers would see concepts or legal concepts instrumentally, but these are instruments whose instrumental agency is reinvented in the course of their application. That's to say that they don't have a sort of they're not implements where the means, if you like, in the ordinary sense of the term, but lawyers are continually reinventing the agency of legal form in the process of using it. And in the course of doing that, they are, to use Kim's phrase, I think, generating meaning rather than simply representing more. I think that what lawyers are doing is that they're actually, what law is doing rather, is that it is generating both terms of the referential relation in the same moment, that is to say, word and world, to use that old formula. I think there are some questions that maybe we could talk about you take the trope of causation in law as the example. The trope of combination invention, I guess, would be the trope of identity, of something. But I think the same kinds of things are in place. So that's it. Those are the questions I think I would want us to explore. Thank you.